Today on Real Life Radio.
I don't want to miss anything that God's doing. If God, listen, if the Holy Spirit leaves this place and goes to some church down the street, goodbye. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to go there. I don't want to miss what he's doing.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. What if the greatest battles in life aren't fought with swords and armies, but with the struggles of the heart? What if the most defining moments of leadership come not from triumph, but from pain, betrayal, and humility? How do we handle being misunderstood or wronged, and how do we navigate the deep waters of authority, submission, and forgiveness? In A Tale of Three Kings, Gene Edwards takes us inside the lives of King Saul, King David, and Absalom, illustrating the powerful lessons learned from their brokenness and their failures. Through these kings, we discover that true leadership often comes through humility, suffering, and trusting God's sovereignty, even in the most difficult seasons. This book will challenge you to reflect on your own heart, leadership, and your walk with God. A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's very special Easter Passion Week edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now with his message titled, Get Up. You know, the Passion Week of Easter, it has so many emotions tied to it, doesn't it? The death and resurrection of Jesus takes us from the grief of what Jesus chose to suffer for our salvation to the joy of the fact that he rose again from the grave so that we can forever be with him. Think about that. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that even now, God is the one on the move. He knows what's happening, just like he knew when the stone was rolled away from the grave, and he knew when Jesus got up and walked right out of that tomb. Now, with his Passion Week message called Get Up, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Roman Empire had sealed the tomb with the seal of Caesar. Did you know that? They took leather straps, they sealed the giant stone, they heated up wax, they put it at the intersection of the leather straps, and then they embossed the insignia sign of Rome, meaning anyone breaks the seal, immediate death for violating Caesar. The women went to see the tomb. They had their spices, they're intending to anoint the body of Jesus Christ, which was usually done before they're laid into the tomb, but they didn't have a chance to do that. So love brought them there. Let me ask you, does love bring you to church? Does love cause you to sing songs? Does love cause you to pray? And does love cause you to open up your Bible tomorrow morning before work? Or to, if these things are moving on in your life, think about that. That means the love of God is stirring you up. The women, they had to go there. We don't know the details. How long were they up? Did they ever get any sleep at all? We don't know. But they had this incredible, wonderful love that was willing to risk it all, even in front of these Roman centurions. And they came. Mark's Gospel chapter 16 tells us, verse 1, that Mark 16:1, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, that Sunday, they came to the tomb. So they came with spices in their hands, and they came, as it were, listen, with a great stone on their heart. They were heavy. Saddened, they came thinking he was still dead. Get up, number two, is because of what they had experienced. Verses 2 and 4 says this, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone, and he sat on it, a stone from the door, and he sat on it. And I love this. His countenance was like lightning. Isn't that awesome? And his clothing was white as snow. And of course, we read the guards fainted for fear. It's a pretty awesome choreography, right, of the moment. The women, the timing of God. The women are going to the tomb. You came here today. Did you wonder about coming? Did you think about it? Was it a last-minute decision? Have you been planning on this? God knew. You might be here right now. And yesterday evening, you had no plans of being here. But somebody said, hey, you want to come or whatever? Maybe somebody picked you up. Maybe you've been hijacked. Maybe somebody grabbed you and drug you here. Could have been an angel. Who knows? But the experience of God, to be experiencing what God is doing. God is moving, friends. In this earth, God is moving right now. And don't get lost in the movement of what's going on in the world. You know something's up. Just understand why it's up. The world is going crazy. Nothing's falling apart. It's falling together according to God's plan. The things that are happening, God knows. Well, the things that were happening back then, God knew. And so the angel came down. The earth was shaking. The great stone was moved away from the door. And in that sassiness, the angel sat on it. So beautiful. And the guards passed out. Great choreograph. And I thought this in my mind because I think weird. You could see like a Hollywood set, or maybe it's a New York Broadway play set up. Cue number one. Cue the earthquake. But that didn't really do anything for them. Cue number two. Angel descends from heaven. But that didn't really do anything for the women. All that stuff could have gone on. The earthquake, the angel, doesn't satisfy the real reason. Cue number three, the stone rolled away. Cue number four, the Roman guards faint for fear. None of these women are moved by that. They could care less. You don't see the women, you know, oh, that did it for me. You know, the moment I saw that angel, that did it for me. I want to submit to you this morning that your soul is so hungry. You may not even realize it because you're about near unto fainting, but your soul is so hungry for peace, forgiveness, grace, love, and eternal life. But you, listen, you are so anemic. You can't even decide what you should eat. And I'm submitting to you today that you should eat of the bread of life. You should drink of the water of life. All these things that have gone on in your life could have been an earthquake. It could have been an angel. Have you noticed that by now? It's not enough. Do you have enough money? Well, you might today. The stock market's not open yet. That could be different tomorrow. But in your mind, are you thinking, my years are set? You don't know that. William Randolph Hearst died somewhere in the vicinity of his empire of $20 billion, and he couldn't buy peace, and he was terrorized by fear. And for the believer, the Bible tells us we are to be marked out by peace, and we are to be a people who have no fear. We need to remember that. Have you experienced Christ for real? This happens every year. Sunrise service, a couple of hours ago, a woman came up to me and she said, I just want you to know, I've been coming to church every sunrise service to this church for the last 15 years, and I just love it. And I'll see you next year, next sunrise service. And I didn't want to get into any argument. I just, really? Wait, see you in 52 weeks? I hope that's not your life. I hope that Christ is a constant. Do you know him? Can you say that you experience him? Number three, get up because of what now had become a fact. The Bible says in verses 5 and 6 here, but the angel answered, I love this. And he said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You want to listen? You want to see some fact? Come on in here. Stick your head in there. Look around. You see? Gone. Gone. I've told you guys before. I've stood at Lenin's tomb in Moscow in Red Square. And he's entombed at an angle, Lenin, and you can see him. And he's, I don't know how long he's been dead, a long time. His embalming fluids, by the way, are a Russian secret. Nobody knows what they are. And it's a good secret they've kept because that dude looks like he could get up and walk away. He looks amazing. But he's dead. If you want to go look at one of the great pioneers and founders of socialism, Marxism, and communism, you go see Lenin. You can stand there and you can take pictures and applaud. What do you want to do? You want to try to go bow down and worship at his feet? Go ahead. He's dead. He looks good, but he's dead. By the way, for most of you, when you die, you're going to be laying in your casket, and we're going to walk by and say, "You look pretty good." What makeup can do. It won't bring your soul back. The fact is that Christ left us an empty tomb. And according to the Bible says there's eyewitness accounts, and if that's not enough, angels led them to the scene of the crime. I guess that's how Rome saw it. It was the scene of the victory, the scene of the battle, where Christ defeated the grave. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, the Bible says, "I passed on to you," Paul says, "what was most important and what had also been passed on to me, that Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said." He's talking about the Old Testament. Verse 4, "He was buried, he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures foretold," talking about the book of Jonah, book of Isaiah. Verse 5, "He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive." Eyewitnesses. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and that fact drives people crazy, or it drives people to absolute rejoicing and delight. Number 4, get up because of what they had come to know. They could get up because of what they had come to know. The Bible there says, verse 7, "and go quickly." That's their command. Here it is. Now that you know this, he's not here. He's risen. Go. Isn't that true in our lives? When God goes to work in our lives and we understand him to have truly been the crucified Savior and resurrected Lord, and that he is now our King and our Redeemer, isn't that what he says to every single one of us to some capacity? Get up and go.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Now you might say, "Well, how do I get up and go? I'm running this company and I'm running..." Get up and go to your company and be a follower of Christ. Well, how does it apply to me? I work for United Airlines. What am I supposed to do? Get up and go and be a Christian in United Airlines. What about me? I don't hardly ever get up at all. Get up. Get out of bed and be a witness for Jesus. Time's running out, everybody. It's 9 o'clock right now, straight up, just now. Boom. I just saw the clock click 9. Guess what? 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. This is the furthest down the road of time we've ever been. Time's running out. We're not gaining time. And if you don't like what I'm saying right now, then let's pretend you're an atheist. And you, of course, atheists always say, "I believe in science." You really don't, but let's pretend you do. Is not entropy the second law of thermodynamics in effect? Isn't everything burning out and getting old and wearing out? Yes. Time will someday come to an end. Time's limited. Time is a physical structure of this universe. Did you know that? It's not supernatural. Time's physical. And you can measure it. And now it's 9:01. We're 1 minute closer to eternity. Heaven or hell. Jesus went to the cross, rose again from the dead so that we would go to heaven. I highly recommend you take him up on that. But to know, and of course you must realize, I'm sure, that today the gospel message of this great and awesome day is rooted in the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament prophesied of it. The New Testament records the fulfillment of it. Listen to this, John chapter 20, verse 26. John 20:26, the Bible tells us, "And after 8 days," this is after the resurrection, "his disciples were again inside." So they're still kind of hiding out. And Thomas was with them. And Jesus came. I love this. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Okay, you know what that means? It means nobody opened the door to let him in. Jesus appeared in the room. Can you imagine? Hey. This happens and is recorded numerous times in the Gospels. Jesus had his glorified body now. He was risen from the dead, which means you could touch him, you could hang on to his feet. In John's Gospel, in another place, the Bible tells us that in the morning, Jesus is cooking fish tacos in the morning, fantastic. And the disciples see him on the shore, and he says to them, children, come, have breakfast with me. Isn't that awesome? And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, what's going to happen? The other day, he just passed right through the doors and he was in the room. Now, let's watch and see what happens. Because if he eats the fish, is it going to fall right down to the ground? Nope. Listen, this is awesome. He wasn't a ghost. Jesus Christ was resurrected in a glorified body, and the exact same word for his glorified body is the exact same body that every follower of Christ will receive on the day of resurrection, a glorified body. So watch this. Someday, we're gonna do what he is right here doing. The doors are all shut, and all of a sudden, Jesus appears in the midst of them and says to them, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. And look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Remember, does anybody want to know why Jesus is picking on Thomas? Because he was the doubter. Earlier, Thomas had said in this gospel, I will not believe until I put my finger in his holes of his hands and see his side. He's shooting his mouth off. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and Thomas is like. And God heard that. Jesus had heard it. Hi, everybody. Thomas, come over here. I would have loved to have seen this. And Jesus holds out his hands. He said, come on. What? Watch what happens. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Think of that. By the way, that's a comforting verse because that's speaking 2,000 years down the road to you and I today. Isn't that beautiful? We've come to know him. I'm wondering, do you guys remember show and tell? Anybody remember that? Do we have that in school? Do we still have it in schools now today? Thank God. Okay, because you never know these days. But show and tell, you know, when I was in school back in the 1800s, you know, maybe your mom or your dad gave you something, or was your grandpa's Purple Heart he got in the Second World War or First World War, whatever it is, and you know, you take it to school. It's a big deal. You talk about it. You show them, and then you tell them all about it. Then when you sit down, the next kid gets up. These women had come running, and I want all of you ladies to listen up. If you haven't caught on by now, women have a very special place in the heart of God. God chose to come into this world through a woman. He didn't have to. He wrote the book. He could have written it a different way. He came through Mary. He chose to do that. And then on the first day of the week, the women came running to the tomb. They were the first ones to not only see the events of the angelic presence at the tomb. Because of fear, Peter, James, and John and the whole crew missed it all. Isn't that pathetic? Doesn't that kind of burn you? That burns me up. I don't want to miss anything. I'm really kind of a freak about this stuff. I don't want to miss anything that God's doing. If the Holy Spirit leaves this place and goes to some church down the street, goodbye. I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to go there. I don't want to miss what he's doing. And by the way, there's things coming. I don't know what. Nobody told me anything. I haven't seen a vision. But stuff's coming to this world. And we're going to see it, whatever it is. You can sense it. Are you ready for it? Are you excited that no matter what goes down, that Christ has been risen up from the dead? and that we are secure in him no matter what goes on this world, and that eternity awaits? What could be bad for us? But those women, I can't help but believe, those women were running. They met up with the angel, the stone, the whole thing, and the angel says, go tell the disciples. So listen, the women were the first evangelists. First to the tomb, first evangelists. And I think that's very special, because did you know that back in those days, the culture only took a woman's eyewitness account, her word, for half a truth? If you wanted to have the whole truth, you had to have two women bear witness of the exact same thing verbatim. Then it could be the testimony worthy of one man. One man would say it, that's all we need to hear. The man just said it. Two women would have to say the exact same thing for it to be equal to what the man had just said. God kind of is rubbing it in. He just flips that around and says, I'll show you guys. I'm going to tell it to the girls first. And they're running. And you know, when you're excited, can you imagine? They were filled with awe. The word says fear, but it's not fear like you say or think. It's the word awe. So they're running. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Can you believe it happened? Did you think that was going to happen? I kind of thought it was going to happen. You did not. You had no idea this was going to happen. None of us did. Stop thinking like that. This is amazing. And they're, by the time they get there, he's risen. Get up. The poor thing's trying to catch their breath. Get up and get to Galilee. Get up. And in my mind, I see it this way. James, John, get up, let's go. All of you, get up. Where's Peter? Peter, get up. We're all going to Galilee right now, let's go. 90 miles, they went. Why? Because of what they had come to know. To know God, to experience God, the truth of God's word, the vitality of God's word. Have you ever experienced, listen, this is gonna hurt. Have you ever experienced the moving, working power of God's word when he goes to work in your life? It is so unwoke. It is so not woke when God goes to work in your life. You want to know why? First of all, bullying is supposed to be illegal. Good luck. You can write a law about bullying. You'll never stop bullying. Well, in my thinking with my life, God in a way bullies me. That's how he got a hold of me. He bullied me in the kingdom. He came up to me, nothing woke about it. He basically spiritually slapped me in the face and said, you're on your way to hell and you're about a half an inch away. You should follow me. And he flexes when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. The world today would say, that's bullying. Well, call it whatever you want. Hide behind whatever, you know, paper mache castle you want to make. But God tells you the truth. And you need him desperately, and you need him now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his very special Easter Passion Week message called Get Up. Happy Easter to you, and thank you for stopping by today and listening to the radio program. Our prayer is that in celebrating Passion Week, you'll come to realize the urgency to come to Christ, knowing that he is the only way to eternal life. You've got to get there. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Everyone, it's almost impossible to keep up with what's going on in the world today. I think we've all come to that realization. My goodness, just the news regarding Israel and Israel's neighborhood. We're looking at what's going on in North Korea. We're seeing what's happening in China and other parts of the world. It's just overwhelming. But I want to encourage all of you. Be in the Word of God now and more systematically than ever before. In fact, as we are in this season of maybe the first quarter or second quarter of the year, I want to encourage you to join me actually at 5 a.m. Pacific time, 5 a.m. Pacific time, and whatever time zone you're in, you can join me at my Facebook page live for 5 minutes as we are praying together with people all around the world. And you can leave your prayer request right there. You can leave it in the comment section and people will be praying for you. So listen, with all that's taking place in the world, you don't have to walk through this alone. There'll be others with you to pray with you and love on you. But friends, more than ever,
If you draw near to Jesus and practice the presence of God more and more, it means you're going to have to turn some things off and minimize the distractions. You will see some pretty miraculous things start to happen in your life. So I encourage you to do that very thing. So listen, 5 a.m., you can do it. West Coast time, 5 a.m. For those of you who are in Cape Town, South Africa, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And listen, we'd love to have you. And even if you can't be with us live, you can always view it, pray with us, and leave your prayer request there at the comment section.
The Lift Daily Prayer, that's every day on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. That's at 5 a.m. Pacific time, so don't miss it. Make it a habit if you would. Come get prayed for and join Pastor Jack in the Word. That's the Lift Daily Prayer every day this year on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. Be sure to join us. You'll enjoy it. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.